we thank you that you're the God that can turn our graves into gardens. God, that you can take the hardest things in our lives, the ashes of our lives. God, that somehow you can take the Mount Everest of our lives. And God, turn them into joy, into dancing, into celebration. God, I thank you for every story that was celebrated this morning so far and the others that'll be shared later. God, we're just so overwhelmed by your love, your grace, your goodness. And God, I pray today for the person that may not think that grace and goodness is available to them. God, I pray that today they would understand that you're the only one who cares. God, that you know where we've been. You know what has happened to us or what we've done. And you still say, I love you. What kind of God does that? I'm so grateful that you're that kind of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, you can be seated. Thanks for being here. And dude, man, my hope today for you is that you take a next step. I pray every week as I do sermon prep, thinking about who's going to be here and what's going to happen in somebody's life. And my hope every weekend is that somebody goes, man, I not only know the next step to take, but I have the courage to take that next step. And maybe that next step is baptism. Maybe that next step is saying yes to Jesus. Maybe that next step is forgiving somebody. Maybe that next step is getting involved in the life of a church somewhere. It doesn't even have to be Grace River. Like, just find a good church that believes the Bible and go be a part of that, all right? And so, man, that's my hope for you because it's changed my life, and my hope is that it can change. I know this. I know it can change your life as well. And so, man, we start a brand new sermon series today called Blessed, and I want to encourage you, if you don't have a church, take the three-week challenge and be a part of the next 3 weeks with us. We're going to be talking about how it is that you can bless your friends, your coworkers, your neighbors, and whether you are following Jesus closely or not sure about him at all, I think we can all recognize the fact we can all be better neighbors, right? We can all be better at listening. We can all be better at sharing our story. We can all be better at listening to somebody else's story. And so, but every single company, every single entity, business, nonprofit, whatever, everybody has like a slogan they use. And so I actually need your help with some slogans for a second, okay? So the first to shout it out just kind of wins, all right? So this is mostly a monologue, so I want to warn you. Sometimes I open this can and I'm like, oh no, now they're going to talk while I'm preaching, which is always kind of complicated, okay? But for the intro, I'm giving you permission to talk out loud, okay? And so just like we celebrated earlier, I give you permission to celebrate, I give you permission to talk loud. So I'm going to start a statement, then you're going to finish it, okay? Melts in your mouth, not in your hand, is what? M&M's. Good job. Okay. Yeah, nice. Good. Okay. I gave you an easy one to start with. Okay. The quicker picker upper. Bounty. Okay. All right. Some of you knew. All right. Good, 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 good. America runs on it. Duncan. Okay. Cool. All right. Great. Just do it. Okay. We all knew that one, right? Like, just do it. It's like, that was a tagline that was created for Nike like in the mid-80s. And what's interesting about Nike especially is that it's one thing to know the mission, but another thing to actually live it out. Like, just do it is kind of funny because it's action-oriented, right? Like, that's the idea behind just do it. Like, I remember getting a new pair of Nikes whenever I was, like, we grew up kind of poor, so I never had Nikes, right? But my parents were great people. We just didn't have a lot of money. And so, like, I had Voits. That was, like, the Walmart brand of Nike, all right? That's what I grew up with, right? But whenever I was old enough to afford my first pair of Nikes, I remember thinking, I'm just going to do it. This is going to make me run faster, jump higher, you know? And, I'm like a junior in high school, you know? Like, it doesn't make sense that I'm still thinking like this, but I did. Like, I thought this slogan would mean that I would just be able to do whatever I wanted to do. Like, that was powerful in that way. Now, what's funny about today is there's actually a new line of clothing out there called athleisure. In fact, it's actually growing rapidly. You know what athleisure is? Athleisure is athletic wear for people that know they're just going to leisure. It's called athleisure. Like, it's like you lace up those shoes, or you put on those joggers, or you put on those yoga pants, or whatever they may be, and you just know your butt ain't doing nothing. You know what I'm saying? It's called athleisure. It's the opposite of just do it. Like, you know, I'm actually doing nothing, right? But I online shop, and I'm like, dude, I don't know. Those warm-up pants would be kind of nice, right? And I know there's one thing for sure. There are some t-shirts or hoodies or warm-up pants that I put on, and I know I'm not going on a run. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not going to work out. Like, it's athleisure. Now, here's the reality, though. Our church has a mission statement, and it's this: helping people meet, know, and follow Jesus. Now, it's one thing to know the mission, but it's a whole different thing to live out the mission. And really, today, Baptism Sunday represents living out the mission. You know, it's amazing because every one of those stories started with somebody sharing Christ with them. For some people, it was their grandparents. For other people, it was a neighbor, a coworker, a friend, a parent. Like, every one of those stories started and originated with someone living out the mission. Someone saying, man, I want my granddaughter, my grandson, my son, my daughter, my neighbor, my coworker, I want them to know Jesus. And so today, as we talk about this, really the big idea behind my sermon today is to help you understand that God's plan to change the world has always been people blessing other people. Like, it starts with us recognizing, man, as followers of Jesus, as people that maybe even aren't followers yet, it's one prayer, one conversation, and one relationship at a time. Like, it starts with us taking it seriously, and it really starts with prayer. And I know that's kind of a interesting topic to open up with on Baptism Sunday, but when you think about prayer, it's a conversation between you and God. It's not a platform to impress people with. Like, some people can pray on a platform and you're just like, wow, I could never, you hear that? I could never, like, it's the way Harry sings. Like, you're just like, dude, I could never. Harry just lights the room up when he sings, doesn't he? I'm like, dang, I wish I could sing like that. Yeah. I listen to some people pray sometimes and I'm like, dude, I wish I could pray like in the King James Version like that guy. That's unbelievable, right? Or I could pray like these unbelievably bold prayers. I'm like, man, I wish I could do that. But do you realize that prayer is not about what you say on the platform? It's about a place in your heart. And that's really, when I think about all the life change that we just celebrated and all the life change that we will celebrate, it really starts with prayer. It starts with us recognizing that somewhere down the line, somebody prayed for that person to meet Jesus. And then they did. And there is nothing more impactful that happens whenever you've prayed for somebody and then God does the miracle in somebody's life. It's interesting because even Jesus himself, when you think about prayer, Jesus himself, before he had any major decisions to make, Jesus, the Son of God, would take time to pray. Look at this with me in the Bible. Luke chapter 6, verse 12 says this. One day soon after Jesus went up to the mountain to pray, he prayed to God all night long. That's a long prayer, right? Don't be intimidated, okay? You don't have to pray all night long. That's just what Jesus did. But then at daybreak, he called together all of the disciples and chose 12 of them to be his apostles. So before Jesus picks his 12 disciples, he spent time with the Heavenly Father all night long praying. That's how big this decision was. Like, Jesus picks this ragtag group of disciples, but he spends all night long talking to Jesus about who he should pick to be the disciples. That's pretty remarkable to think about. So, like, when you think about decisions that you're going to make, I think it would be good for you to spend a moment or two talking to God about that decision. If it was good enough for Jesus, I think it's good enough for you to slow down and go, man, I'm just going to talk to God about this. Now, you could say, well, I'm too busy. And I get it, dude. I'm busy too. I understand. But, like, if you're too busy to spend a moment talking to God, then I think you're too busy. Like, you need to slow down and go, dude, I can spend some time talking to my Heavenly Father about this. And it's interesting, later on in the Gospel of Luke, which, by the way, coincidentally was written by one of the disciples that Jesus picked, in Luke chapter 11, the disciples, Luke pins this, I think it's so good. Once Jesus was in a certain place praying, as soon as he finished, one of his disciples came up to him and said, Lord, teach us how to pray. Like, there was this emphasis for this disciple to walk up to Jesus and go, hey, don't teach me how to walk on water. Like, that'd be a pretty cool trick to learn. Like, teach me how to do that. Like, don't teach me, I'm not really interested in the blind being able to see. Like, that sounds cool, but I'm not interested in that. Right? The deaf to hear, the ones that are paralyzed to be able to walk. Like, if I'm one of the disciples, I'm like, Jesus, teach me how to do that. But I thought it was super insightful that this disciple, Luke doesn't tell us who it is. May have been Luke himself. John wrote like that a lot. If it was John's gospel, you would know that it was John, because John was kind of selfish the way he would write. Is that fair to say? Like John, in John's gospel on the resurrection account, John mentions multiple times, three different times, John mentions that he's faster than Peter, which is absolutely hilarious because he beat Peter in a foot race to the tomb, and John mentions it. Although John doesn't say it was me, he says it's the disciple that Jesus loved, which we know that was John, which is kind of a really weird third-person way of... I don't know if Luke's doing that, right? But all we know is that one of the disciples walks up and says, Lord, teach us how to pray. And I think there's an emphasis here that you and I can bless the world around us, but what the blessing starts with is it begins with prayer. In order for us to bless our neighbors, to bless our coworkers, to bless our friends, in order for us to see a move of God, we can't manufacture this. Mark, one of our door greeters, walked up to me right before the service started, and he said, can you believe all this started in your living room? And I was like, dude, I actually can't believe it. 11 years ago, this church was five people in my living room. And today, it is so much more than that. Like, it's so much bigger than one person or five people. It's wild what God has done and what he's going to continue to do here. But you know what it started with? It started with a move of God. It started with prayer. And in order for us to continue to see a move of God, we have to talk to God about people more than we talk to people about God. Like, it starts there. Like, it starts for all of us recognizing that, man, I have to talk to God about the people in my life that need God way ahead of time. It's interesting. I found this card this morning, and I don't know. It just, like, I couldn't believe it, actually. This was a card that we had people fill out back in Easter to pray for five friends. And I found this card this morning on my desk, and I remember praying fervently like 40 days leading up to Easter for my five friends. And it's interesting because I'm able to look at this card today. And of the five friends that I was praying for, two of them know Jesus now. And that was just back at Easter. Yeah, it's crazy. And that's nothing magical about my prayers. That's just something amazing about our God. And if I am going to see a move of God happen in my friend's life, in my family member's life, in my coworker's life, it starts with me talking to God first about them before I talk to them about God, if that makes any sense, right? I think sometimes we're just so eager to share Christ with somebody, but the reality is, man, it starts way back before all of that. If I want to model the life of Jesus, spend time with the Father first. Also, when I look at prayer, prayer always aligns my heart with the mission. Joking about athleisure earlier, like, athleisure is hilarious, you know, like, actually, I wish I was wearing some athleisure right now. My wife is bringing a change of jeans for me, which is nice, so I won't get the Six Flags rash we talked about earlier. But, like, thanks for laughing. If you're new here, I just need you to know we have a good time at church, all right? So there's always permission to laugh. Even if the jokes are bad, people still laugh, right? It actually shortens the service time. That's the truth. Cool. No, it doesn't really. But actually, when you laugh, it makes it longer sometimes. I'm like, oh, this is going okay. Anyway, so, like, but prayer ultimately aligns my heart with the mission of God. And I love watching what prayer does in my own life, but prayer for me moves me from being like a selfish person to a person that's concerned about the mission. Now, what I want to help you with today, I think sometimes when we pray, sometimes we just pray prayers that would just change us. And I want to encourage you to make, like, it's good to pray prayers for yourself. Like, that's a good thing. That's not a selfish thing. It's not an awful thing. But if every one of your prayers were answered and it only changed you, that's a problem. And so my hope for all of us is that our prayers would do more than just change us, but it would change the world around us. And when I think about Grace River, man, one of the things I love about our church is that we're not a church that you drive to. We're a movement that you choose to be a part of, a movement that's helping people meet, know, and follow Jesus. And that's the mission of God. The mission isn't four walls and a roof. In fact, something that I'm really excited about in this month that we're going to be talking about, and I'm introducing the idea right now, is on October 26th, we're doing what's called a bless offering. Now, if you're new to church and you're like, well, here's the pastor talking about money on Baptism Sunday of all things, you can just zone out for a second or you can dial in because this offering is going to bless our neighbors, our community at large, and even our world. And so we're doing a $30,000 offering. We're going to give away every one of those dollars to people in our community. and to people all over the world. And so that's something that we're doing with this offering. But I want to kind of like let you know a little bit about what's going to happen and what's going to take place as a result of it. There's really like three things that are happening with this offering. Two big ones, though. Every year we do what's called a Thanksgiving food drive here at church. Last year we gave away 200 turkeys and everything that you would need for a Thanksgiving dinner. And so we gave all that away, which was really an awesome thing. We also sent people to Kids Against Hunger, which was also great. And so Kids Against Hunger, what was good is we sent about 100 volunteers down to make these food packets for people in Africa. So cool what God did. So this is Kids Against Hunger, and this is them bagging up, and this is the actual crew that went to Africa to make the food. Isn't this cool? So people in our own church, some of you sitting here right now served that day at Kids Against Hunger, and these pictures, I've been saving them back to share with you one Sunday, and I'm like, oh, this is the perfect Sunday to talk about it, right? And so these are the kids eating rice and beans, the same rice and beans that we helped bag up in this thing, and there's actually a quick video of a guy walking away with one of these bags. Watch this. Yeah, I don't know. For me, this moves my heart. I was at the project that was here at the church with the food drive, but many of you came back from with Kids Against Hunger, and it was really cool to see like the excitement on your faces, and I think this is just an amazing opportunity that we get. So half of the $30,000, $15,000 is going to go to this project. The other $15,000 is going to our DR missions trip. And so in November, we're sending a group of 20 people to the Dominican Republic to share the love of Christ there. And so we have a missions church planting partnership with Converge, which is our church planting organization that we're a part of. And they're going to put a roof on a building, and they are also going to provide food and medical supplies for people in need in the DR. And so this is all happening on October. This offering is happening on October 26th. You can give any time between now and then. And here's my thing. I know we're going to reach this goal. And yes, the goal may be $30,000, but really the real goal is 100%. Is 100% of 100% of all of us that call Grace River Church our home doing something to help impact not only our community, but our world as well. And so I think this is a great chance for us to unlock generosity in our own lives. And you know what the greatest antidote to greed is? It's generosity. And so, man, let's see God move in a big way. I just want to encourage you, man, October 26th, we're going to do this offering. And I'm just going to say it. It's called the Bless Offering because it begins with prayer. And ultimately, what's going to happen is this doesn't benefit Grace River at all. This benefits people on the outside of these walls. But the real benefit to us is that we get to be a part of something bigger than ourselves. The real benefit to us is we can go back and go, man, look at the mission that we get to be a part of. This is not athleisure, right? Helping people meet, know, and follow Jesus means this. I have a chance to get in the game. Like, I can do this. And God can use you. And so prayer also opens doors for everyday conversations. Like I think about the everyday conversations that you and I get to be a part of. It starts with prayer. And it's amazing because whenever you begin to think about the 3 to 5 people that God has laid on your heart to pray for, when you start praying for them, it's amazing how God changes your heart towards them. And it's also amazing how, like, I started praying. I go to the same Starbucks, like 3 or 4 times a week, okay? I started praying for the people that hand me the coffee. And it's crazy because they're not like the 7 Brew people. You know, if you work at 7 Brew or no 7 Brew, 7 Brew kind of wigs you out, right? Because they'll ask you what you're doing today, you know? And I always feel like, oh, man, I don't know what the, like it's like a pop quiz. I don't know, you know, like, and I got to think through what I'm doing today and I got to answer them. They're trained to do that. I know they are. But the Starbucks people aren't trained to do that. But I started praying for my Starbucks barista. And one day she asked me, so what are you up to today? And I'm like, oh man, I have an opportunity to share the gospel here. And I didn't like go full into like, I didn't open my Bible and like share the full gospel. But like I said, well, you know, for me, I have like this really hidden ability to be able to go, well, I'm a pastor. And today I'm about to meet with somebody here at Starbucks and share the love of Christ with them. And so like that opened an every door conversation for me. And I was praying for my barista. But there's also a guy that I got to cut out on these stories because I'm going to be short on time. But like there was a guy, dude, this is so crazy. There's a guy that wasn't on this card, but he's been on things that I've wrote on in the past, and I've prayed for this guy for years, and we used to work out at the YMCA together, and then his family moved gyms, and we've stayed connected through Facebook and stuff like that. And this is so crazy. This friend is one of those dudes that seemingly has it all. You know, like, I've been to his house, has a really nice house. I've rode in his car, has a really nice car. I've heard him talk about his job. It sounds like a really nice job. He's got a really sweet family. And this dude is a dude that seemingly in your mind has it all. And it's crazy because this week, that dude posted about that song, Graves into Gardens, and talked about how in the last couple weeks, God has flipped his life upside down and changed his life. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? We're singing that song this weekend. That's crazy. And then also that song has moved in my life. And also this is a dude that I've been praying for, I'm not joking, for like over 7 years. And like to see God move in his life. And it's amazing because you better believe I like messaged him and said, bro, let's get coffee next week. And we have a coffee set up for Friday, which I'm just pumped about. But I just think in my mind, man, it's amazing how prayer opens doors for everyday conversations about God. And in order for God to move, it starts with a move of God and starts with us deciding, hey, man, I'm going to pray for the people around me. So some next steps that I want you to consider. Every Sunday morning, we give you next steps, clear understanding about what I can do next. First of all, make a bless list. Begin with prayer. And in order to make a bless list, a list of people that you want to bless, man, just simply write out their names, like create an iPhone note, or if you're an Android person, just open up your phone and type in something. I don't know where you'd do that at, right? But like make a list of 3 to 5 people that you're praying for. We make fun of people here sometimes. You got to have thick skin to come to church here, okay? So if you're a cat person, we're probably going to make fun of you. Taylor Swift fans, you're not going to make it. People from Southern Illinois, it's tough, you know? It's tough. But make a list of people, 3 to 5 of them, and put them in your phone and set a reminder every day this week to pray for them. Like, you can set that reminder, pray for my blessed list. Second thing is commit to prayer daily. Like, set that reminder and like, I'm gonna pray every day for these people. And I'm gonna talk to God about people before I talk to people about God. The third thing, I want to ask you to buckle up because you got to be ready for the conversation. Like, it's coming your way. And some of you are like, man, I'm intimidated by that. Like, what would I even say? But what you say is you just share your story. We all have a story to share. And if you don't have a story yet, I want you to know God is writing your story. But be ready for the conversation. And the fourth thing is be ready to celebrate the stories. It's amazing when you make your prayers more than just about you, how God shows up in your life. And there are just these undeniable moments where God shows up and he shows off and you can't help but to go, there has to be a God. Now listen, for the person that's here today that maybe isn't a follower of Jesus yet, I want to encourage you with something, man. I don't know all the answers. And there are things that happen in life that I don't get, I don't understand. There really are. But I want you to know something, man. Life makes a whole lot more sense with God than without him. Like, I don't know why we've experienced the hurt that we've experienced. And I don't know why there's injustice in the world. I don't know why. I don't know why all of our prayers don't get answered. I don't know. But I know this, man. I know there's a God in heaven that loves you. And he loves you right now, not for who you should be. He loves you right now for who you are. And what's amazing about Baptism Sunday, it's a reminder not of the water, but it's a reminder of the cross. You know, there was a God who died for you. Like, not just for the people in this room and the people in this world. I want this to get to the granular level of personal right now for you. There was a God who died for all of your mess. The mess of your past and the mess of your present and the mess of your future. There was a God who did that for you. And the cross is a sign of that, but the empty tomb helps you to understand that because there's a grave that's empty, it means that there's nothing in your life that's impossible. It means there's not a mountain too high for God to climb for you. That there's not a distance you could ever walk away from God where he says, I'm done with her, I'm done with him. Like, I want you to know something this morning. If you don't get anything out of this, God is pursuing you. Like, in the middle of your mess, in the middle of your rebellion, as you walk the opposite direction from God, maybe you're just here to support somebody today and you didn't sign up for this, and I'm really sorry, but I just need you to know something, man. God is pursuing you in this moment. And so I wonder, as he knocks on the door of your heart, would you be willing to receive it? Baptism is really all about the good news of the gospel. And the good news has nothing to do with my achievements. It has everything to do with what God has done in my life. You don't achieve news. You believe and receive it. And so I wonder today, are you ready to believe and receive what it is that Christ did for you? What it boils down to is this. It boils down to you admitting that you need Jesus. That on your own, you're lost. It's believing that it was Jesus who died in your place. That it was his sacrifice on the cross, his righteousness in exchange for all of your unrighteousness. And then it's confessing with your heart and with your life, Jesus as Lord and Savior. So here's what I want to do for a moment. We have next steps on the screen. And for the Christian today, you can see your next steps. For the person today that's saying, man, Chris, I don't have it nailed down yet. I'm not sure about this Jesus thing. Your next step is making Jesus the Lord of your life. So would you bow your heads with me for a moment? I want to pray for you and with you. For the Christian, man, consider what your next step is. For those that don't know Christ yet, maybe today's the day. You know, in the next service, there's an entire family getting baptized, and their very first Sunday was Baptism Sunday at Grace River. And I wonder today if that's your story. This may be your first Sunday back in church in forever, or at all ever. I want you to know there's no better time than right now to say yes to him, to give your life to Christ. You can do that by praying a prayer just like this. God, I admit that I need you. I believe that it was your son, Jesus, who died on the cross for my sins in exchange for everything that I ever did wrong. God, that you undid all that I had done by sending your only son, Jesus, to die for me. And today, God, I confess with my heart and with my life your son, Jesus, to be Savior and Lord. Thank you for saving me and making me a Christian. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray this. Amen. Hey, thank you so much for praying that prayer with me. And may we celebrate all that today, all that God has done in your life. And so this is amazing, and it's just really cool to think about what God, how God has moved in all these ways in your life. And so thank you for being here. A couple quick things, man. If you just prayed that prayer, text the word begin to the number on the screen. That's just a person that you just prayed that prayer with me. You could just text the word begin to 636-556-8866. That's the word begin to 636-556-8866. And then join us over the next 3 weeks. We're doing the three-week challenge together, man. My hope is that you come back. You want to be back this next weekend as we continue to talk about this blessed strategy of how it is that we can bless people, our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, and how we can change the world one conversation, one prayer, one act of love at a time. And so let's stand together. Thank you for being here. Hope that you have an awesome Sunday, and God bless you. See you back next weekend at Grace River Church. Thank you all.